May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn number 901. A godliness which feeds on form and lip devotion, barren cheer, will satisfy an earthly worm who learns to think and call it prayer. Contented with the husky part, a moving lip and silent heart. Hymn 901.
Help us this evening in reading from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4 down to verse 12, and chapter 6, the fourth chapter of Nehemiah down to verse 12, and chapter 6. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. We turn to chapter 6. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease, whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me 4 times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the 5th time with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest a wall, that they mayest be their king, that thou mayest be their king, according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. And now it shall be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hand shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterward I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, should such a man as I flee, and who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me. For Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so, and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elu, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them. For there were many in Judah sworn unto him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Arah, and his son Johanan had taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Berechiah. Also they reported his good deeds before me and uttered my words to him. And Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. May the Lord bless those portions of his word. May he help us in prayer. Dear Lord, we do come before thee at the time of the evening sacrifice. And Lord, at the end of this day, we would come and pray that, Lord, the day may not finish without a blessing from thee. The day may not come to an end without the sweet whisper of the Lord Jesus upon our never-dying souls. O Lord, do come, whisper peace within our hearts. Yes, do give us, Lord, a touch, that we may go on our way, we may be strengthened, we may be helped, and we may be given that which will enable us to continue in the pathway. Lord, the day is fast bent, and it is toward evening, but oh, that our eyes might still be fixed on thee, oh, that we still might be on the stretch for a blessing. Lord, it's a wonderful thing to be on the stretch. It's a wonderful mercy that thou dost really bring us to pray, as we tried to speak a little of this morning in that way that, Lord, do not turn away thy face. That entreating of the Lord, mine's an urgent pressing case, I must hear the word of the Lord. Oh, we do pray then, as we've come up to thy house, that there may be that desire in our hearts that we will feed tonight. We will have a feast tonight. We will go away with a full soul tonight. We will be helped in our journey. We will be enabled and strengthened for the way. And Lord, that there will be a touch of thy love. Oh, that thou would look upon us. Lord, we do not deserve it. Our very righteousnesses are as filthy rags, a filthy rag before thee. We are, each of us. And though, Lord, we may sit in chapel and look the part, and we may in every way appear to be good, Lord, we know that if we are shown a little of our hearts, that they are desperately wicked, and there is nothing we can offer thee but sin and more sin and an evil heart. But Lord, if thou dost come, If thou dost come over all these things, and grant us a blessing, and grant, Lord, a portion of thy love, oh, that we might be fed tonight. Yes, that we might be feasting upon the bread of heaven. Feed me till I want no more. And, Lord, that we might prove that it is sufficient for us to enable us then to go on. And, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt bless thy word from earlier in the day, whether it be here or those that have been elsewhere, that, Lord, the word will be used, and that, Lord, there will be something that comes from it. Not for the praise of man, not for the honour of man, not for the esteem of man, but for the praise and honour and esteem of Almighty God, to set forth his praise. Lord, we do believe thou art working here and there in Zion. And as it comes into our mind, we feel it right and proper to praise and to bless thee, that here and there souls have come to give a little account of what the Lord has done for them. And Lord, as we have ourselves in a few days' time to take two young people through the waters of baptism at Hand Cross, we do give thanks to thee that thou hast led them to come in this way, and others also across our little denomination that we hear of recently. And Lord, what has been remarkable, and we do thank thee for it, is when we hear of how the word has been blessed over the internet, the word has been blessed during a time of lockdown. But Lord, we feel this, the enemy hasn't been able to lock down the work of the Lord. And we hope and believe, even in our own souls, that there's been that, Lord, that we hope thou hast done in this time. And oh, as we may speak as a poor servant, Lord, how we've struggled, we feel at times, to try and preach in our studies. And Lord, at home with nobody but a wall in front of us at times, but Lord, thou knowest. Oh, and how we've had to prove on one or two of those occasions, the Lord has come in and use the word. Lord, we thank thee for the provision. We thank thee that thou dost do this. And Lord, though we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and Lord, we feel that and pray that, Lord, the friends will be able to come to the house of God, and that we will not have any further lockdowns in that way. Also to give thanks to thee that in this last lockdown we've been able to still come and worship thee for the most part. But Lord, thou hast used the word. And what a mercy the enemy has not locked the word down. Oh no, Lord, thou hast been a faithful, kind and gracious God, and we would praise thee tonight. And Lord, pray that the friends here may join with us in these praises, because worthy are thy praises and praises comely. And Lord, it is right that we give thanks and come before thee with praise and thanksgiving for thy mercies. And not just in those, Lord, that have been led to put thee on openly, but in the work that has gone on, and in, Lord, the blessings and favours that have been given and granted to souls at this time. So, Lord, oh, we thank thee that thou hast not left us without blessing and favour. And that, Lord, the candlestick has not been removed from here and other places. But, oh, Lord, we would not rest on our laurels. Oh, Lord, we have to pray and confess our shortcomings. We have to confess that, Lord, we do need so much more a closer walk with thee. We need so much more a calm and heavenly frame. We need so much more of that religious diligence that thou alone canst give us to desire Jesus and to walk with him, to walk worthy of him. Oh, Lord, we do pray that in our walk and conduct there might be much exercise within our hearts to walk uprightly. And Lord, do help and strengthen us in the way. Lord, we do pray for each and every one of thy servants that stand upon the walls of Zion this very evening, Lord. Strengthen and help them and give them that ability to speak well of the Lord Jesus Christ, to raise him high upon the gospel pole. Lord, that is what is so needed in the ministry, and we fail. But Lord, we desire it though, to raise him high. This precious Christ, the one alone who can save poor sinners. So our dear friend spoke of the weight of sin a little in the prayer before the service, and the Lord might come to poor sinners. That's what we desire. Yes, show pity, Lord. Oh, Lord, forgive. Let a repenting rebel live. Are not thy mercies large and free? May not a sinner trust in thee. Lord, that we might come then before thee tonight, pleading that thou would forgive our many, many sins, pleading that thou would wash us and make us whole, that we will be presented sound and whole in that and clean in that tremendous day. Lord, we plead then to be washed, to be cleansed, and we plead for thy mercy. Do remember then thy servants tonight, and we pray for those that have preached during the day, and bless thine own word. May it be a gospel day in Zion, we do beg. And Lord, we do pray that thou would remember each one and thine afflicted servants, and those that have those things before them. And we do pray for Mr. Izzard in this, so that gracious help in the coming week, and that thou will go before him and strengthen him and bless him, Lord, and raise him up to be a little stronger, Lord, for his dear people at Fenstanton. And we do pray for Tim in the ministry as well. And Lord, we forget his surname, Parish. We do feel, Lord, at the end of a long day, but thou knowest. But do remember him, our dear friend in the ministry and brother, Lord, and we pray that thou wilt strengthen him and raise him up again to preach the word, and spare him to his dear family and wife. And Lord, we give thanks that thou hast brought him through thus far. And as we believe, had to walk a little in that text that he preached to this very people. Yes, that is, my grace is sufficient for thee. Yes, strength made perfect in weakness. Lord, do be with him and bless him indeed, we pray. And Lord, we do pray for others that have treatments before them, that have surgery before them, and that have those mountains before them regarding their health. Lord, be with them and go before them. And do remember those, Lord, here, those that mourn and are afflicted. And we do pray, Lord, for the dear Mrs. Baker. And we do pray for the dear family. And we do plead thou wilt draw near. And we do pray that they might be graciously helped and supported by the arms of the dear Lord Jesus round and about them. Lord, do graciously appear. Do show them, Lord, that their dear one is bound for glory. Lord, we pray thou wilt be with her in her bed of affliction, the mental affliction. Lord, this illness that has come upon her, Lord, we pray for her. That, Lord, she may, Lord, come unto thee. That, Lord, thou would keep her in gentleness and in peace. And, Lord, take her to be with thee at the time that is right. Lord, we pray thou would comfort the family, graciously hold them up. Lord, be with them each. Lord, we feel poor in our prayers, but our desires are towards them, that, Lord, thy loving kindness will be shown. Lord, and we pray in this affliction, there will be much, Lord, to exercise our own hearts, that we know not what a day can bring forth, and we know not what is for us in the pathway. but to live a life of faith by prayer. Help us, Lord, in these things as we journey on. We do plead. Lord, we do beg and pray. Thou wilt be with this corner of thy vineyard and help the dear deacons and bless and support them and be with one then, Lord, as he's with his dear one tonight. And Lord, do bless him indeed. And our friend here with the hymns tonight, and Lord, with as they carry the burden of this place, and Lord, we plead for grace from above. We plead, Lord, for much help. And we plead that thou will be with them continually. And Lord, the church here too, it is our prayer thou will go before them in all things and guide and direct their steps. It is our prayer, Lord, that thou wilt add unto them such as shall be saved. It is our prayer thou wilt add unto this congregation. Are there none of thy dead elect around in this village that have picked up perhaps the Bibles from outside and have opened them up, and now they need to seek the Lord in this place? Bring them in, Lord. We beg and plead that thou wilt bring them in from outside. And Lord, may it be a right thing for us that are here already to embrace them with warmth, with love, with kindness. Oh, Lord, we must welcome those that come in from outside. Oh, Lord, we've been brought up in these ways, but to encourage them. Yes, Lord, help us to do so. Lord, we plead and beg that there may be some even in this chapel that will have to come in. Oh, Lord, constrain them by thy love. What must I do to be saved? We do pray. And, oh, Lord, we plead that the power and the strength of God and his might will be seen in these things. And we pray for other churches and chapels in the same way. And, Lord, and indeed anywhere where the word is faithfully preached across the globe, thou knowest indeed. Now, Lord, oh, well, we pray for all of the ones here in the different generations. Remember them, Lord, with all their diverse needs, concerns and cares in providence. Go before them. Cast, he said, on me thy care. 'Tis enough that I am nigh. I will all thy burdens bear. I will all thy needs supply. May they prove it, Lord. Help them to pray their way along, even as we try to speak just a little of this morning. For that prayer, Lord, help me. And, oh, Lord, we do seek that we might prove, even as our friend prayed, ourself standing before the dear friends tonight, the proof of that prayer, because, Lord, we need it. And, oh, Lord, we do pray that there might be then that time of renewing, refreshing, strengthening of the souls that are before thee, that they will go home rejoicing. Go home, yes. And, as it comes into my mind, and go home and tell, speak of the wonders of the Lord. Tell what great things he hath done for thee. Oh, that we could speak often one to another of the things of the Lord. Well, Lord, do be with us each. Be with the young and the rising generation. And, Lord, those, Lord, at school and those home taught and those, Lord, in the early days at work, strengthen and help them. Those, Lord, that look to the future, guide and direct them. Those, Lord, in the middle part of life. Those in the older, amongst the older friends and the retired ones. All the individual needs and cares. Lord, we pray, thou wilt be with each and every one. Now, Lord, help us. What wait I for? My hope is in thee. Do appear, dear Jesus. Forgive our poor prayers for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us sing. from the heart, hymn 406. Hark, how the blood-bought hosts above conspire to praise redeeming love in sweet harmonious strains. And while they strike the golden lyres, this glorious theme each bosom fires, that grace triumphant reigns. Hymn 406.
Our friends needing to feel so much the help of the Lord tonight, we would direct your attention to Nehemiah chapter 6 and the last clause in verse 9. Nehemiah chapter 6, the last clause in verse 9. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. And the verse reads, for they all made us afraid, saying, their hand shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Well, we feel to need this in speaking tonight, friends. It's been a long day. And you know what? You need it in hearing, you know. You need it in hearing. To be strengthened. To be enabled to hear the word. To be enabled to speak the word. Nehemiah. You know, Nehemiah, it's a lovely book. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but I feel some of these parts of the Bible we don't read enough. But Nehemiah, he desired with much weeping before the king that he would rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, the walls of Jerusalem that had decayed in the 70 years of the Babylonish captivity. And immediately, friends, it's seems to speak to me, what about the walls of your soul? See, this is a spiritual side of this text. The walls of your soul, do they need rebuilding? Is there much rubbish in them? I expect you young people notice that word rubbish in the Bible. Did you think that was in the Bible? I tell you, friends, there's rubbish in your heart. If you know a little of your sins, and there's rubbish in the Bible, the word in the Bible, not rubbish in the Bible, you'll understand my point, but the word rubbish in the wall. The enemy's told them there was rubbish in the wall, and the enemy will tell you that there's rubbish in your wall, the wall of your soul. But let me ask you, friends, how is your wall? How is your wall? What a solemn thing to consider. There's 70 years of decay, and it was not Nehemiah himself, that his parents, the previous generation that were driven out of Jerusalem under the time of the Babylonish captivity. And here afterwards, there's a desire in his heart, he weeps. And he's sad before the king. Sad before the king. And he desires to rebuild the wall. And the king gives him authority to go and rebuild the wall. But friends, the wall of your soul this evening, how is it standing? You know, the wall of your soul, it needs the cornerstone. And the cornerstone and the head of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ as the foundation and as the topstone, crying grace, grace thereunto it. Is that how your wall is constructed of your soul, or is it full of gaps? Well, the work of building the wall was something that Nehemiah set out to do, and the king of Persia, he enabled, he gave him instructions, wrote letters for him to do that. But there was opposition, opposition, opposition. Because the work of rebuilding the wall was a good work, friends. And where the good work of the Lord Jesus Christ is in your soul and in my soul, there will be opposition, opposition, opposition. Oh, you say, preach unto me smoother things. Make it sound a little bit easier, this pathway to heaven. My dear friends, the opposition is something that I can do nothing about. It's so clear in God's word that we will know what it is to live in an enemy's land if we're walking in the way to heaven.
Opposition on every side. Opposition from within. Opposition from without. Opposition. And these enemies were clever. And these enemies were cunning. And these enemies worked hard. Did they not? Do you know a little of the cunning of your own heart? The attractions of this world and the way that the Satan works, you know. You young friends, you look at these mobile devices, don't they take your control? You look at the internet, doesn't it attract you? And you can spend, not just the younger friends, each of us, these things take us over and over and over, and the enemy's pleased and he wants that because it's set up before us, and we need to be strengthened. We need to be strengthened for the work, and now the enemy's not to win because the enemies that they made us afraid, say in their hands, should be weakened from the work, the good work that is being built on our soul. I know we can't do anything, friends, but you'll understand my point. Yes, the enemies. You see, these enemies. Now, these enemies were powerful men, you know. This Sanballat and Tobiah, they were very powerful men. They were regional. They were people that were like regional officials in charge of the various regions under the authority of the king. But they had their authority as regional directors and important people. And they were determined to overthrow the work of the rebuilding of the walls at Jerusalem. Now, the rebuilding of the walls was to show, really, the rebuilding that the temple as well at Jerusalem, that God would be praised in these areas, Jerusalem, his city, as it were. And as I say, that relates really back to the work of our own souls, friends, in the pathway of life. Yes, now you see, the beautiful thing about Nehemiah is this. His very name means comforted of God. Comforted of God. And the work that he set out to do, that the Lord gave him to do, he could not do, but he was comforted of God and enabled and strengthened to do from the very beginning. And how did he do that? Well, friends, it comes back to this morning's service. He came, he was one. We didn't talk about him this morning, but we easily could have done because he was one who relied on prayer. And it is often said that Nehemiah was one that had pithy, short prayers. You know, friends, we can have long, pretty, well-constructed prayers, but what does it mean before the Lord? You know, Mr. Leonard Broom said, I think his son John went to visit him and prayed before him at his bedside as a dying man. And he said this, brief prayers sink deep. Something for us each and the brethren to remember at the prayer meetings, friends. And I'm not throwing stones at anybody. Because, you know, it's how the Lord leads a man out. But there's something in this. Brief prayers sink deep. And so his prayer here, now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. What a prayer. What a prayer. This man was not afraid to pray before he took a step, before he did anything. And you know, we read, the king said, what dost thou make request for me to me? Because right in the beginning of this book, when the king sees that he's cupbearer, which is what Nehemiah was, that meant that he had to drink. He had to drink of the drink before the king would drink and eat of the food so that to make sure it wasn't poison, friends, or there was anything in it. And that was his job, the cupbearer, important man, was Nehemiah. But the king saw that he was sad. It wasn't good to be sad in front of the king. But the king said, what do you make request? And this is what he did. It doesn't say, I made an immediate request of the king. It says, so I prayed to the God of heaven. I prayed to the God of heaven that he would turn the king, that the king would show compassion to me, that the king would understand my case. That thing that's troubling you, friend, and I don't want to necessarily continue the theme of this morning, but it comes into my mind, the thing that's troubling you in soul, in providence, take it to the Lord before you go to man. The thing that perhaps you've got to face a man in the week, I don't know. Take it to the Lord in prayer like Nehemiah did. And he said, so I prayed unto the Lord God of heaven. Yes. And then he was unable to explain to the king, and the king gave him all the letters to support him that he needed. And then came the opposition. Why? Because they saw that the king had instructed him to rebuild the wall. And so they would oppose in every way. And we read a bit in chapter 4 of their utter, total despising here, where they say that Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said that even a fox should go up the wall. Now, a fox isn't a particularly heavy creature. A fox should go up a wall, and it shall break down their stone wall. And so here they pray, hear, O our Lord, for we are despised. Is that what you feel? The enemy despises you. He's working against you. Your lack of faith. Lord, build the wall of my faith, the wall of my salvation, that it might be strengthened, that it might be built again, that it might be renewed, that there might be a word to strengthen my wall of faith. It's crumbling, Lord. It's a crumbling wall. It's falling down. A fox. Oh, as the enemy says. Ah, you see a fox, it's interesting to me, they choose a fox, how cunning is a fox? And you know that's what the Lord Jesus refers to the enemy as a fox, does he not? But you see, the fox will destroy the wall that crumbles. Ah, how strong's your faith this evening, friends? Do you feel you've got a crumbling wall? Oh, we know something of it. And you know, it's when we feel weak in the faith, it's when the enemy assails us even more. Friends, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ needed strengthening. We read it in one of the Gospels. It's so beautiful, really, that an angel was sent to strengthen him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, you read those words in Psalm 22, don't you? But my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he saw that cup that he would have to drink up, that we spoke something of about at the Lord's table earlier. But you see, friends, that strength, there was one that was dispatched. Yes, the hymn writer says, dispatched from heaven, an angel stood, amazed to see him bathed in blood. But it strengthened him, the strengthening. And you know, if the Lord Jesus Christ in his hour needed strengthening from an angel sent from God in heaven above, is it any wonder that you and I come to those places we feel so weak, and the only strengthening hand that can be given to us is from the Lord? So what a prayer it is then as we come to our text with a little bit of the background there. Now, therefore, now. Love that word now. Not tomorrow. Yes, I've been strengthened in the past, maybe looking back. But now, Lord, I need it now. Strengthening. Now. It's an immediacy, you see, in that. There's no walking away and saying, tomorrow will do. The next day will do. Now, friends, we need to be careful because the word of the Lord is clear that strength is given equal to the day. But friends, to be asking for strength, to be asking for strength when the need comes in now, you see. There is an immediacy with the real urgency of prayer, something we talked about this morning. And it bears repetition, friends. An urgency of prayer that the Lord would come and help us and give us strengthening grace to go on straight away. Now, therefore, and the therefore, of course, considering that the enemies are making us afraid, considering that all these things are against me, considering that their hands shall be weakened, because our enemies, they've done these cunning things, or as in verse 8, thou feignest them out of their own heart. You see, they worked all these things out. And I tell you what they did do, friends, which was quite unkind. Sanballat, verse 5, he sent a fifth time an open letter written by his hand. You say, what does an open letter mean as against a closed letter? It meant a lot in those days. A closed letter was one that was written just for the recipient, like you and I might get a letter and open it up. It's just for the recipient. But an open letter was open, it could be seen by all. And it was done as something which was done in a way of looking down on them, to dealing with them in a despising way. It showed contempt for what they were doing. An open letter so that all the Jews could see it. The Jews that were working on the wall could see it. And down they would lay their tools. That was the idea of an open letter. Oh, the evil, cunning plan of those that opposed. And friends, that's how it feels to the poor child of God. Besieged on every side. Oh, there's Christian walking towards heaven. An atheist comes the other way. An atheist says to him, where are you going? I'm going to Mount Zion, says Christian. And he laughs in his face. This is the enemy in opposition, friends, and we know something of it if we're walking in the right path. And he says, where are you going? To Mount Zion. And he laughs and he says, there's no such place. And friends, we come to it in the pathway. We walk and we believe there's no such place as heaven. No such place as glory. Oh, you say, what? We doubt. You know, I read Mr. Frank Gosden in his book. And he said he had to preach three times on the Sunday, and the day before he opened the Bible, he said, and I shut it in temper. There's nothing in the book for me. Oh, he said, and he was angry. Oh, you say, really? What? A man who had two pastorates, who was well known in the ministry, well revered in our circles. Friends, the enemy of souls works within us if we are doing the work of the Lord, and that's why we need our hands strengthened. But the story doesn't finish there, I'm thankful to say. Oh, he was pricked in his conscience. I must reopen the word. He reopened and he felt this. He reopened the word and he opened it. My springs are all in thee, in the Psalms. All my springs are in thee. Oh, how beautiful. And he felt, I must go and preach. And then he opened it further in the Bible and opened on this, the archers. The archers, yes, have bent their bow against me to shoot their arrows. And he knew the archers of atheism, the archer of unbelief, the archer of almost hatred towards God's work. But he saw those archers had all disappeared by this lovely word, all my springs are in thee. Friends, we've got to walk our religion out, and we need this prayer of Nehemiah. I do believe it, and maybe there's a poor sinner needs it this very night. Now, therefore, because of mine enemies. Therefore, for this very reason, O God, strengthen my hands. Beautiful, isn't it? Why his hands? Because his hands were working on the wall. Because he needed his hands to do that physical work. And friends, don't we need our hands? The hands of the Lord Jesus were strengthened. Those kind hands that did such good, says the hymn writer. We, you, me, friends, oh, I hope so. We nailed them to a cross of wood. They did such good. You know, he went about with his hands. He put his hands on the head of the children. A little child came to him and put his hand on his head. And he said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. His hands. His hands. Oh, I say to the children, your hands. You've got little hands, haven't you? Pray to God to strengthen your hands. You say, what can I do? What can I do to serve Jesus? Oh, what can little hands do, says the hymn writer, to serve the God of heaven? Those little hands some work can find, goes on the hymn. Yes, such grace, such strength to mine be given, it ends. Oh, go and look that hymn up. It's a lovely hymn for the children. Oh, what can little hands do to serve the King of Heaven? What can your and my hands do? What will he have you to do, friends, in the service of the Lord? Who are the Deborahs in this cause? The Deborahs, the mothers in Israel. The little hands. Oh, God, strengthen my hands. You see, here, friends, we're not just talking about our own souls. We're talking about strengthening others. We're talking about that collective worship, that collective responsibility as a Christian believer for others. Strengthen my hands, strengthen our hands. Yes. And maybe there's a work the Lord has got you to do. And you're going to need this, friends. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. You know, Daniel, he knew what it was to feel weak. You know, Daniel, he, of course, knew that the lion's den, and we know, the children know, the wonderful deliverance that he had from the lion's den. But as he went further on, he found more and more of his own weakness. And he says at one point, I have retained no strength. No strength at all in my soul. No strength in my religion. Oh, poor Daniel. If we got one like that. And yet how he stood up. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose known. About. Dare to make it known. Daniel. But you see, the Lord was so kind to this man. God sent an angel. And he came, there came and touched me, one like the appearance of a man. And he strengthened me. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, and he repeats it. Oh, how beautiful this is, friends. And when the Lord speaks this, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. You know, our late dear pastor at Staplehurst, Mr. Cottenham, two or three times mentioned this word and quoted it in the weeks before he was taken. And you know, it seemed to go home to me, and I thought, what does this mean, Lord? What does it mean? Well, I'll tell you what it meant when I had to walk it out, friends. That dear man suddenly taken from death into glory, and I'd got through death into glory, and I'd got 18 months to have to try and book up at Staplehurst for ministers, and it seemed a hopeless case, and to try and walk in that pathway, and you know, at the same time carrying the burden of the ministry, and how could we possibly continue? friends, I'm not here to talk about myself, but I knew then that that dear man had had to bring that word out, that I'd had to walk in it. Let my Lord speak, thou hast strengthened me. And oh, Pat, maybe there's a poor, I hope there's more than one poor, weak, feeble believer. You can't take another step in the journey of faith. Oh, lay it before him. Therefore, O God, strengthen my hands, strengthen my feet. Enable me to walk on and to take one more step in the pathway. Strengthen me. Oh, friends, how much we need strengthening grace. It can only come from the Lord. We have no strength. But, oh, doesn't Paul write in such a lovely way? He says this, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know, 2 years ago, April 2 years ago, I was favoured to take a baptising at Ripley, and you know, we took that as our text, but you know, all that week before, every single evening, everything at work and in our life was a mess, friends. I, to tell you this, I say it to a degree in my shame, but it was the Lord. I could not open the Bible from Monday to Friday, barely, only for morning and evening reading. There was no time. Everything was pressing. And I'd got this baptizing service to take. But, you know, the Lord dropped those words sweetly. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And, you know, so we proved it. And what's more, in the love of God, you know, it was so remarkable. I did just get time on the Saturday morning before that Saturday baptizing service to open the book of one of the Lord's servants. And, you know, he spoke. He had a special service to take, and he'd had no preparation time. And every time he tried to prepare, the enemy came in and something came in and he couldn't open God's word. And I thought, the dear man of God has been there before me. You know, friends, it's an enemy's world. And that's why we need our wall to be strengthened through grace, as the Lord will help us, and to pray that our wall of our faith will be strengthened, because we're going to need it. But what do we read in verse 15? And what an encouragement to you and me this evening, friends, is this. Verse 15, so the wall was finished. Oh, friends, I saw such a beautiful text in those few words. So the wall was finished. Jesus says, it is finished. Those words, it is finished. Heaven's brightest glory sunk in shame that sinners might adore his name. It's finished. The work is done. The work of salvation is complete. Oh, there's so much spiritualization in it. But it is finished. The wall was built in 52 days. They were strengthened for the work. And it was because of prayer. And it was because the Lord gave that prayer. And he gave that ability unto them. They were strengthened. Friends, it's a remarkable book. And it's amazing to see that despite the cunning nature of the enemies, and despite their desire to overcome, and this open letter, you see, that was completely derisory, that was the wrong way to do things, that thinking that it would wind up the Jews so that they would stop the work, none of it came to pass. It all failed. Because, why? Because this was the Lord's work, and the work of salvation. Satan, your heart, all the enemies, all the idols we spoke about this morning, none of these things will prevent your soul going to glory, friends. Because if the Lord, if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it's indelibly written there. Oh, how dare the Satan tell you something else? How dare he lie to you and say, no, it's going to be blotted out. Blotted out. Your name's not there. Maybe he said that to you, poor soul. Maybe there's one that's so tried that you feel you thought you were some way on in the way, but now The enemies, you feel you're in such an enemy's land, and he's telling you that actually there's nothing in your religion. There's nothing solid in that testimony you gave before the church. Those of you that have already joined. Or maybe there's one exercise, and you know, he's saying to you, you can never come with that. They'd just laugh at you. Friends, if there's one that's got to come, friends, I tell you, this is a prayer for you. Strengthen my hands. It's what you need, you know. Oh, I do feel we need it every time we step into the pulpit, that strengthening grace and that ability from God to open up the word as he would have it to be opened up for his believers, for the believers in him and for what they need at that moment in time with their now therefores. And I know we fail to really preach the dear Lord Jesus as we would. Oh, but how this man was graciously helped, this dear man Nehemiah. But friends, wonderful, isn't it? I can do all things through Christ. Well, strength, you see. We're weak in ourselves, aren't we? Again, you see, that's not something in nature that we like to feel that we're weak. We like to feel we're strong. But the Lord, he brings us down, doesn't he, into weakness. You know, I read about Mr. Fay, a dear pastor at Norwich, and Mr. Fay in 1934, this was before he went there as pastor, but the dear man, he had a breakdown, a complete breakdown, and he'd got a business, he had to stop working in his business, he'd got the preaching, he had to stop preaching as an itinerant minister, he'd driven himself into the ground in a way, friends, but naturally speaking, but the Lord saw that this affliction came upon him. And you know, he said he went away for some holiday time in Norwich. How interesting, friends, that the Lord would have him to be there as pastor later on. You see, the Lord works in these ways. He was raising that man up that he should be over that people. Well, anyway, he went up there, and the first Sunday he went out to chapel, he wasn't able to preach amongst them. It was some few months later, but he went out. And the minister, there wasn't a minister, the deacon, I should say, read a sermon. Friends, never despise the reading sermons. When your dear deacons have to come before you, and I know you're favoured here and there's not many, but when they are read, because you know the Lord does bless them, and I feel this poor sinner can say something of that, but the reading service, and he came with this word, there now therefore remaineth a rest to the people of God. Oh, and how it was strengthened him. This man so low in his soul, so low in his feelings, and he said, I was strengthened. I was strengthened. And friends, pray therefore, if you feel to be low in the same place like that dear man in your soul, that you might be a little strengthened to enable you to go on in the journey. And he was, you see. But I say, how God raised him up. Later on, the mysteries of providence with the Lord Jesus Christ to set him over that people. And the Lord strengthened. And you know how Moses spoke? As it comes into my mind, I must speak it. But charge Joshua. Charge Joshua. And strengthen him. I think it says encourage him and strengthen him. And oh, that you might be enabled then to encourage a Joshua. Ah, you know, friends, Joshua sent amongst you. The Joshuas in the ministry. Encourage them and strengthen them. Because if you've been blessed under their ministry, that's what they need. But charge Joshua. You know, those words I've carried around for a few weeks and I've no idea why, friends. But charge him. We can only speak as the Lord guides us. But it goes on to say, encourage him and and strengthen him. And that's what Moses said to the children of Israel, because Moses knew that he would not pass over that river. Well, friends, we leave these things, but how wonderful it is we come back to dear Moses a little bit earlier. And Moses, oh, you see, we read that Israel was at war against Amalek. Joshua was fighting, and Joshua did as Moses said to him, and he fought with Amalek. And it came to pass that when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek, the enemy, prevailed. Moses' hands were heavy, is what we read. They were heavy. He could not hold his hands up. And friends, we need to hold each other's hands up in prayer. And we need to pray for the afflicted. And we need to pray for your friend and the family here at this time of affliction amongst you. I know you are, but pray more, friends. And others that you know are afflicted in our little denomination and amongst your own families. But to pray one for another in these things. But Moses' hands were heavy. And so they took a stone. Oh, you say, give me a stone to put under my arms that they might be held up in prayer. Yes, but more than a stone. You see, Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. His hands were strengthened that he might continue then in prayer. And his hands were steady, we read, until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Yes. The strength, the power. Do you know they called the name of that place Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. A banner of strength, a banner of might, a banner of answering the prayer of Nehemiah. You could say, now, O God, strengthen my hands. Oh, like Daniel, it was strengthened. It's what you need, friends, is it? A poor, weak believer. Yes. Cease, O believer, cease to mourn. You read that hymn. I can't quote it now, but it ends up like this. With thee it shall go well. Yes. With thee it shall go well. The very matter that you're burdened about today, your never dying soul, with thee it shall go well. Beautiful hymn. Yes. Oh, how much we need the Lord, don't we, friends? And you know, the weaker we are, the stronger we are in faith. What a prayer. Lord, weaken my hands, that thou wilt strengthen my hands. Weaken my hands in nature, that I may be made strong. Samson. You children know about Samson. He's long hair. It was the might of him. But that should be his downfall when it was cut off. He'd got no more strength, had he? And the day came. Oh, they gouged out his eyes. And there he is. He's got the Philistines all against him, but he prays to the Lord once more that his strength might return. And you know it did, and they put him up against those pillars, his arms round those pillars. He couldn't see a thing, but strength was given to him, and he destroyed more Philistines in his death than he did in his life. And we know that he did many then, as you young friends would know. He also killed a lion, did he not? Out of the strong came forth sweetness. You know, if the Lord gives you strength, friends, there's going to be sweetness come forth of it. Sweetness, as sweet as the golden syrup tin that's got that text in it. Friends, it'll be beautiful. Your soul will be satiated in the sweetness of it. How beautiful these things are. now, O Lord. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. And he says earlier in Nehemiah, says earlier, he says, strengthen my hands for the work that I have to do. We each have a work to do, you know, friends, if we're going to glory. A work that is unique to us. A work that the Lord will have us to do. Strengthen my hands for the work. Yes, his strength is made perfect in weakness. Yes. And you know that's the end of that text that we tried to quote that our brother preached from here, was it not? But you know, the Lord Jesus and his strength. To look to him in all these things. Friends, I feel the well has dried up. We must leave it. But may the Lord add his blessing. And above all, take it home. Ponder the word, friends. That's the thing. It's not just hearing the word. It's walking it out. And it's pondering the things that we've heard prayerfully before the Lord. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Rowland Wheatley will preach on Tuesday evening. There'll be a prayer meeting for church members on Friday evening at 8 o'clock. There'll be a prayer meeting for the nation next Lord's Day morning at 9 o'clock. And Mr. Jonathan Buss will, God willing, preach to us at 10:30 and 2:30. And the collections next Lord's Day will be for the Trinitarian Bible Society, West Anglia Auxiliary. And lastly, our friends at Fenstanton hope to hold their anniversary services next Saturday at 2:45 and 5:45, and the services may be listened to on Zoom. Our closing hymn is number 352. The moon and stars shall lose their light. The sun shall sink in endless night. Both heaven and earth shall pass away. The works of nature all decay. But they that in the Lord confide and shelter in his wounded side shall see the danger overpassed, stand every storm, and live at last. Hymn 352.
Thank you.
do forgive anything that thou hast seen that is wrong in thy pure and holy eyes. Do take each of the friends home in peace and safety. Lord, do be with them each in the week ahead, and do help thy servant on Tuesday evening, we do pray. Remember them each in the journey of life and go before them. And Lord, do undertake to manage all by the way and to the end. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.